and then sustain it. It is a joint effort of believers as we go forward. And it's a beautiful thing to see believers coming together for the cause of the Great Commission. The Great Commission happens because we are willing to sacrifice financially, emotionally, spiritually, although that sacrifice is often multiplied in abundance. But throughout, God's word says that He gives back. He multiplies as we give. And you know, I think when we get to heaven and we recognize the task that was before our Lord and the beauty and the commitment that He was willing to make, I think we will only see the grander view of what we are called to be a part of. And it will be an awesome thing to stand there and greet and talk about what God has done on this earth. Tonight I want to talk a bit about purpose, and I know it's been a long day, so I'm going to keep this short. But I do want to look at again that whole concept of why do people, or what causes people to sacrifice everything for the cause of Christ. And I believe it comes back again to the fact of our inner being and how that we join with, when we join with Christ, suddenly what seemed important in the past fades and becomes substantially less important. And our purpose, what motivates us, comes to the forefront, and we are blessed. And God multiplies as we go along. But I do want to look, and I want to challenge us as we go, because we've heard from multiple individuals here tonight of the sacrifice that our Lord is asking us to give, or is a part of the Christian walk as we go out and fill the Great Commission. Sacrifice is a part of it. In fact, the whole idea that somehow we step into a realm of, I'm not sure exactly how to term it, but we step into a bed of roses that suddenly life will be glamorous and easy is far from what we see in Scripture, in the life of the early church, in the life of missionaries as you read their biographies, or my experience. The get saved to become wealthy in human terms is foolishness. Although we do become wealthy in Him in a different sense. And God is a wonderful God who loves to pour out His blessings on us and wants to give us purpose that lasts for eternity, that wants to build up within us, that wants to well up within us a fullness that sustains us in the midst of extreme difficulty. But I'm challenged tonight, the next generation, and I'll call it the next generation, the generation of young people have challenged me with their zeal to want to experience Christ to his fullest. And the zeal is taking them to a level of experience that drives their purpose, that motivates them to give it all. And as I explore that hole, and as I walk alongside of, and again, am privileged to be able to watch and mentor, I'm challenged. Because I see in our young people the same drive and zeal that has driven Jim Elliot, Stanley Dale, Darlene Dibler, and I can name over and over and over individuals. I believe that God is raising up today individuals to go out and be the feet of him in places that are difficult. You know, one of the reasons that there is a large area of unreached individuals is because of the difficulty that it is to get there or to reach them. But today, there's teams rising up to that challenge. And so I want to talk a little bit about purpose and fulfillment. And I look at the Old Testament again, and one of the things that I see in our people, or in our people in the Old Testament, is persistence. When Abraham left and followed Christ to an unknown land, he made a major commitment. And suddenly God shows up and says, you know what? I'm going to bless you, and you will be the father of a great nation, a lot of people, so many that you're not going to be able to count them. God showed up, gave him that vision, gave him purpose, and I believe it motivated Abraham at that point. But as he went on, God wanted to see persistence. And so he continued to ask of Abraham, are you willing, are you able to follow me? And as a older individual, and again, I'm not exactly sure his age, but 90, he was 90 years old, something like that, when he was given the promise of a son. And by the time God asked him to again commit his son and take him up and sacrifice him, he would have been 100 plus, probably. Most of us would say Abraham lived a strong, good life. Abraham deserved to live a life of ease. But God didn't see it that way. God wanted to see how strong his commitment was to him. And so he asked him at an old age to give up the very thing that he promised him he would give. You know, you'll see the story of Jacob as he wrestled with God that night, and he wrestled all night long. Why did he do that? In fact, he wrestled to the point, and you know what? I look at that and I say, wow, he must have been a strong guy wrestling with God. God was actually accomplishing his goals in his life. God wasn't weak. And I don't know, again, exactly the whole details, but God touched his, what was it, his hip and put it out of joint, and he had a limp after that. And I believe the Jews today still hold that sacred and don't eat that part of the calf or whatever it is. I'm not sure. But anyway, the persistence that Jacob displayed that night was valuable to God. And I see that as foundational in finding our purpose and becoming fulfilled in what we're doing. God expects us to be persistent. He sees value in that persistence, which means that instead of 5 minutes on your knees, it may mean all night to have a breakthrough. It means instead of thinking that I can do something next week, it may mean that you need to persevere all year. Persistence is key to finding fulfillment in Christ. He values that. The second thing that I see important as we again look at purpose, and I'm just going to jump down over here real quick, is the whole idea. Well, let's look again back at Paul's life. And I ask, what happens or what causes Paul to give so much for what we see as humanly so little? But the second key value that I think God puts in the whole idea of building up purpose within us or maximizing our purpose is the simple fact of having confidence in who Christ is. First of all, stick to it. Be persistent. But secondly, put your confidence where it's worth putting, and that is Christ, not our ability. I love the whole idea, and what was it, Manny? Is it Manny? There you are. Is it Manny? Okay, I love that whole idea of knowing where God called you, knowing what God wants you to do, sticking with it, and then putting your confidence in the way you talked, that confidence that you know that God is going to provide is key to, again, finding our purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that we strike out and make a fool of our Lord. He does say, count the cost. And I know there's all kinds of concepts about whether you should raise the funds first, whether God gives ahead of time, or whether you walk out. And I'm not going there because I believe God works in multiple ways. But the key is that we put our confidence in God. And you will see that again as we go back to Abraham, the story there. As he walked up the mountain, he tells his son that God will provide. When he knew and probably couldn't come to terms with the whole fact, I can't imagine what was going through Abraham's mind as he knew that God, what God had asked him to do, and that was to sacrifice the one that was going to bring the promise to being. Abraham's confidence was evident in that situation. And he was able to walk in the path that God gave him, as difficult as it was, as mentally challenging as it was, he walked in it because of his confidence. And I'm just going to read a couple things here to close. C.T. Studd, again, the individual that was wealthy and very, very good, a very good athlete at the time going into China. This is what he said. It says, when someone says there is a lion in the way, in other words, as C.T. Studd was anticipating the work of the Lord in front of him, he says, when somebody says there's a lion in the way, a real Christian promptly replies, that's hardly enough inducement for me. I want a bear or two besides to make it worth my while to go. Can you imagine that? If there's a lion in your path, there's a lion blocking C.T. Studd's path, and he says, give me more. That's hardly worth it. I want a bear and, or what's he say, a bear or two to be along with it, to make it worth its while. That is confidence, knowing that whatever comes in front of me, God will take care of. And I applaud, again, the whole idea of knowing where God is calling us to and stepping out before all the details are in place. And again, circumstances are vastly different from one to the other. And I believe God works in multiple ways as we walk along. My motto in the past has been, as I walk and find the Father and His purpose and step into it, I ask Him to provide. I need to step, then He provides. But He will do so in the midst of planning, in the midst of putting together a team to surround what that should look like. Your motives in life play a significant role in your thought process, your accomplishments, and your overall health in life. I believe that God is calling us to be individuals that go into whatever operation, whatever calling, whatever situation, enthusiastically. That we share courageously and boldly. That we serve sacrificially. That we suffer joyfully, and that we die triumphantly. That's my motto. I didn't come up with it necessarily on my own, but that's my goal as I go out into the world, wherever that is. Right now, we're in Lancaster. In a couple months from now, hopefully we'll be in Asia. But as we go enthusiastically because we are confident in who God is. We go enthusiastically because we are motivated for eternity, not for personal goals. And as we go, He gives us the privilege of being able to share who He is boldly. And I challenge us. One of the things that has stood out to me over the last 9 years is the lack of training that a lot of our Christian families have. And I challenge us as parents to model well what it means to speak boldly. We're not all called to stand up here behind the pulpit. We're not all called and gifted to teach in a Sunday school class. But we are all called to tell. And if you do that boldly, suddenly you will model for your children what is rarely modeled. If we were to give the amount of time and energy to training our children to accomplish the Great Commission as we would give to launching them in a career, we would have the Great Commission fulfilled already. There's a lot of people that have never shared who Christ is, and they're ready to move onto the mission field because they don't have models in their home or in the church that has taught them well. So I challenge you, make it a point to tell. You may not be gifted in evangelism, but God will give you supernatural ability to tell, even if it's just your neighbor. And I say that. If you can't talk to your neighbor, you're going to struggle to talk in Asia or in other cultures. So again, go enthusiastically. Share courageously. Serve sacrificially. Suffer joyfully. Die triumphantly. That is what will happen. There will be a triumphant death, both to your fleshly desires and to your human body, if you serve Him. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You again for being amongst us, for giving us the strength to walk in Your will. Lord, we thank You for this community of believers. We thank You, Lord, for the ministries that are represented here tonight. We ask, Lord, that You go with us beyond. Go with us as we go out. Give us words to speak. Strengthen us. Help us to know how to walk in Your your purpose. Give us a vision. Wake us up in the morning with a motivation that is outside of our own goals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll turn it back over.